One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Dan and Hazel in their bedroom late at night.
Dan, can you see the clock?
7:57, Hazel. Thinking about Pinky?
Oh, sure.
I can't sleep either.
So that's how it is with the barbers today. When you have a miserable headache, you want relief, and fast. So reach for that friendly-looking blue and white package of Alka-Seltzer. Yes, Alka-Seltzer is first aid for relief from headache. All we ask you to do is try it. Alka-Seltzer will do the rest. Dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, then drink it. Since Alka-Seltzer is a solution when you take it, the pain-relieving analgesic, sodium acetyl salicylate, is ready to go right to work. And because of its effervescence, those hundreds of sparkling dancing bubbles, Alka-Seltzer gives the fastest relief you can imagine. Yes, take Alka-Seltzer. First aid for relief from headache. Chapter 13, Book 80. Now, after midnight in Seacliff, San Francisco, the houses are dark and the streets deserted. A new November moon, if anybody were there to see it, would reveal Pinky's unfinished job in Henry Barber's garden, the uprooted flagstones, the bricks for the new walk. But the Barber family home is dark, too, now. All asleep. But three blocks down and two blocks over at Hazel's house, two people are lying wakeful in a moon-drenched bedroom, lying very quiet so as not to disturb one another. Dan and Hazel, Pinky's parents.
Hazel, have you been asleep?
No, not yet, Dan. You were breathing deeply. I thought you were.
I might have dozed off, anyway.
Can you see the clock?
7:57.
Oh, my. Well.
Pinky?
Hmm?
Thinking about Pinky?
Oh, sure. This crossed my mind a minute ago. Dan, do you want to talk or can you go to sleep?
No. What were you going to say?
Something Paul remarked the other night keeps crossing my mind. I told him that I thought my children were a handful when they were little. But I said, looking back on it, the troubles we had then were practically heaven compared to what we're going through now with Pinky. And Paul said probably a million mothers had said the same thing.
And fathers, too.
Yes. All across the country in quiet bedrooms. There are people like us, Dan, who want to do the very best they can for their children and don't know just what to do.
Oh, now, it isn't as bad as it seems. Father Barber was very cheerful about Pinky tonight. He said the boy worked like a Trojan all day long. He got up most of the flagstones. He's ready to start laying the brick tomorrow.
I know.
Well, he's recognized he has an obligation. He buckled down to pay it off. Well, I think things are looking up.
Went out with Eunice tonight.
Huh?
I say he went out with that girl after dinner.
Oh, well, he's almost 19, Hazel. When you're 19, you can drag home another exhaustion, take a shower, think about a girl, and away you go. Yeah, nothing revives energy like a date with a pretty girl. Yeah, when you're that age.
I don't know how pretty she is. I don't think from all reports she's so very pretty, Dan.
Well, we can't judge. She probably looks pretty to Pinky.
Or her money looks pretty. Oh, I know that's a terrible thing to say, but that bothers me, Dan. Pinky's wrong set of values. If people have money, well, that's enough for Pinky. I think we would have heard more about Eunice, much more, if she'd been pretty as well as wealthy.
Well, what makes you think she isn't? Nobody's seen her.
Just did. Huh? Oh, yes, Eunice called for Pinky in her big car over at Father's one day. He got just a glimpse of her, but he said, you know, Cliff, he said, well, she ain't pretty. Kind of a big girl, I guess. Tall.
Well, even if the attraction is money, he'll get over it. He's just a kid. I had half a dozen girls, tall, short, wide, skinny, till I found the right one.
Dan, oh, I know he acts brazen and self-confident, but that must be because underneath he's really frightened. Paul thinks so. And I've been terribly afraid if we don't handle things right, Pinky might just rush off and get married.
Oh, no.
Well, kids do.
You've really got yourself worked up, haven't you?
It's no good not facing things.
Well, you don't have to face things like that. Not at midnight.
That's just the time you do face them, Dan. You keep yourself busy all day so you won't have to think. But midnight's the time you can't help thinking. Youngsters are loafing. It's almost a daily occurrence in the newspapers. Kids trying madly to prove to themselves and the world that they're grown up. When they're really not.
Well, yeah, but Pinky...
It might have been the wrong thing to let Father move in bag and baggage over to the family home. I agree completely that... What was that?
Listen. I don't hear anything. What'd you hear?
No, I guess not. I thought I heard the door close downstairs.
Well, let's worry about burglars for a while. It'll be a change, huh?
You have a jumpy wife, Dan. Sorry.
They're real light-eyed, Hazel. I admit this is a real one, all right. We got ourselves and Pinky into a kind of a box.
Dan, I think we made a dreadful mistake moving Pinky over to his grandfather's and not. Well, we've taken a position. We can't bring him back.
Well, I still think you're making mountains, Hazel.
But we rejected him, don't you see? His own parents. He's a boy in a terrible mess. In debt, in love, if he is in love. Out of school, no skills or craft, nothing. And he suddenly finds himself banished from his own home. What was that? Margaret must be awake. Yes, Margaret?
Who's there?
Hey, are you folks asleep?
Pinky.
I didn't want to wake you up, but I thought I heard voices.
Well, come on in.
Shut the door so we won't wake Margaret.
Yeah, okay.
Turn on a light, Dan.
No, don't bother. I just assume sit here on the edge of the bed for a minute.
Well, how do you happen to be home? I expected you to sleep at Father Barber's.
Well, I was out with Eunice, and I... Well, she left me over there at Grandfather's, and I didn't feel like going right in, so I took a little walk.
After the day's work you did?
Well, yes, yeah, sure. Your grandfather said you did a wonderful job, did he?
Uh-huh.
Were you hungry or something, Pinky?
Me? Oh, no, I'm not hungry. I came over home because, well, I was going to come over in the morning anyhow. I've got something, well, a pretty important thing to talk about.
Oh.
Yeah, a pretty big step I'm going to take.
Oh.
I haven't told you much about her parents because, well, everybody's been so...
Whose parents?
Oh, Eunice's.
You wanted to tell us something about Eunice's parents, Pinky?
Well, her father, Oliver Higby, you know, he's a pretty important man, Mom.
Yeah?
You see, one day at Stanford, I was walking across the street with a guy, and a big convertible went by with Eunice in it. And this... I don't know why I'm telling you all this stuff for. I guess it isn't important. Anyhow, he said...
Who said?
This guy. He said that was Oliver Higby's daughter in the convertible. I'd never heard of Oliver Higby, but when I looked him up... Gosh, he's a big lumberman. Have you heard of him, Dan?
Oliver W. Higby? Oh, sure.
Well, that's her father.
And he's offered you a job?
Huh?
Is that why you wanted to switch to forestry?
Oh, no. I've only seen him a couple of times, Mom. Mrs. Higby took us out on the yacht last weekend... He wasn't there. He's up north, but...
Then what's the important thing you wanted to discuss, Pinky?
Huh? Oh, well, tonight we drove around for a while, and then we had quite a pretty serious talk.
What about?
Dan. Pinky?
Well, our future.
Yours and Eunice's?
Yes.
And?
Well... We're going to get married.
Now, see here,
Dan,
young man.
Dan, please. You proposed to Eunice?
Well, yeah, I did, Mom.
And she accepted you?
Oh, sure. She, well, right from the first. Yeah, she did, Mom, right away.
Well,
This is quite a step, Pinky.
Well, I thought I had to come and tell you because I know it is. It's quite a step, but it's the right one.
Well, how do you propose, if you'll pardon me?
Let's talk it all over in the morning, shall we?
Yeah, all right.
But
yeah.
Don't hurry off, Pinky.
Well, it's late, and I...
Oh, we won't go right to sleep anyway, will we, Dan?
Hmm.
No, I think I'll... Say, I don't particularly want to go back and sleep at Grandfather's tonight.
Of course not.
If it's all right with you, I'll just stay here in my own room.
Why, of course, Pinky.
Yeah. Say, this will be some news for old Hank, won't it? I'll bet Margaret's eyes will bug out when she hears it. Gee.
Let's not announce it, though, until we've had a chance to really talk. What do Eunice's parents say?
Oh, they like me fine, sure. Sure, I got along with them about as well as I ever got along with anybody.
They know, do they?
Huh? No, it just happened tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, didn't I tell you just now?
Yes, it slipped my mind. Then... Eunice is going to tell her family?
Yeah, we didn't think we'd do that old-fashioned thing where I'd ask for her hand or anything. She's going to tell her mother tonight and phone her father tomorrow.
I suppose there'll be quite a lot of talk in both households, won't there?
Yeah. We discussed eloping, but, well, we thought we'd give everybody a chance to get on the bandwagon first. There's no use startling people if you can do it the proper way. Well, I'm glad I told you tonight because, yeah... Well,
you might just kiss me goodnight, Pinky.
Yeah. You've got kind of a grown-up son, haven't you, Mom?
I most certainly have. Good night.
Night. Night, Dan.
Good night, Pinky.
See you in the morning. Well, it'll be nice to be in my own room again. Well, good night.
Oh, I'm sorry if I seemed bossy, Dan, but I didn't want you to blow up.
Oh, no, you were right. I shouldn't have said a word.
Well, you didn't, really. Oh, Dan, this is...
Yeah, I know. Hardly sounded like Pinky there in the darkness.
This is the real Pinky, the frightened one. Oh, Dan, this has got to be handled, and handled right. We've really got a problem.
Yes.
And we've got a son down there alone in his room who has a problem, too.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Have you tried Alka-Seltzer for relief from acid indigestion? Well, take it from me. It's really wonderful. Next time acid indigestion upsets you, try it. Yes, be wise. Alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. Remember, Alka-Seltzer's guarantee is and always has been your money back if you're not satisfied. So you can't lose. And folks, don't forget my tip about taking Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. When you're out late and have had too many late refreshments and acid indigestion threatens, just drink a glass of sparkling Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. Alka-Seltzer will relieve your acid indigestion, and as a result, you'll sleep better, wake up feeling better the next morning. There's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer. If you've never tried it as first aid for relief from acid indigestion, you don't know what you're missing. I really mean that. I know you'll like Alka-Seltzer, and you'll certainly welcome the comfortable feeling it leaves in the stomach. Your druggist has Alka-Seltzer. And remember, you must be pleased with it, or your money will be refunded. Here's the family again.
Yes? Mom? Dan?
Yes?
Thanks for being so swell about it. Good night.
Protect yourself and your family against the letdown all-in feeling that follows when you do not get enough of the essential vitamins. One-a-day brand multiple vitamins taken every day will provide this protection. Don't take chances. Don't let lack of vitamins pull you down. Make taking one-a-day brand multiple vitamins as much a part of your daily routine as eating breakfast. Be sure it's one-a-day brand, the vitamin with potency guaranteed by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Pinky envisions a rosy future. Chapter 14, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.